Welcome to hell. Welcome to
Michigan.
hell, Michigan. Welcome to hell, Michigan.
Not to be confused with Paradise, Michigan.
They got both of them?
I think so.
Michigan sucks, man.
Yeah.
No, anyway. Welcome back to the Black and Blue Podcast, Tim.
I'm Joseph.
And we were just having a very intellectual discussion about spray farting. Or sharding, if you will. Actually, is there a difference between sharding and spray farting?
Absolutely. Sharding is whenever you go to fart and poop comes out. Spray fart is obviously whenever it sprays out of your dookie chute.
Okay. All right. Now that the show's off to a good start, let's get down
Hopefully
to
your bowels will be off to a good start this week as well.
the Super Bowel. Super
Just
Bowel 46.
we can start off with that. I'm gonna say because the Broncos or it wasn't all Harbaugh, it was a Super Bowl in my opinion.
Yeah, I can give two S's of an F about it. And that's from the heart. No, I mean, it's good to see Tom Brady lose again. Did you see the new fad instead of Tebowing, Bradying?
Just crying for no reason.
What he's got, it's like you're sitting down on the floor with your legs out and your head down. Just doing like that.
Whenever little kids sleep over themselves. Oh,
Yeah.
you didn't do that when you were little? I'm sorry, I was the only one that played with Legos so much that just passed out sitting up.
I fell asleep at the computer a couple times.
I'm pretty sure you were naked in a couple of those instances too. Don't look, Mom.
Oh, great. I hope my mom's listening. anyway, yeah, the Super Bowl and that was a good game.
It was a really good game.
I enjoyed it quite a bit, not just because the Patriots lost, but just the overall suspense of the game and all that.
Can I, first of all, I'm going to say two things. I've been getting crap from everybody because I still say Eli Manning isn't elite. And I apparently have to, my definition of what elite is has, like, basically has legendary status. And I texted you the other day and I told you that if Eli Manning is considered to be an elite quarterback in the NFL, then there are probably eight or nine elite quarterbacks in the NFL, which would mean that just about anywhere from 25% to 33% of the NFL is elite.
Well,
And to me, that's the thing. You can't be elite when 33% of your fraternity is in that.
yeah, I get what you're saying with that. It's just what I see is the top. I see it kind of as a top five thing. I see them as, I don't know. It's just the definition, I guess, is kind of vague, and it's completely open to interpretation because I feel like elite is more so just like the top five guys, like the guys you would have, like you would want in any situation. And the guys that I would take in, say, like the last 2 minutes of a game down by a couple score or down by a score or two, is, Brady, Manning, Aaron Rodgers. I just said Brady before Manning. Eli Manning. Well, Eli Payton, Tom Brady, and Aaron Rodgers. Matt Stafford too.
No Drew
Is
Brees.
well, yeah, I guess, yeah.
And that's already six guys right there that you're already putting in there. And then Matt Stafford's had one really good year and two fairly injury prone years, but I still, because whenever he's been on the field, he's been outstanding.
Yeah.
So I mean, if to me, he's in that same elite class that Eli Manning is. And if you want to go that route, Sam Bradford's on the cusp of it. Cam Newton's on the cusp of it.
Well, Sam Bradford had a terrible year in 2011.
Yeah, but he was also hurt for, like, he only played, what, like six games this year?
Maybe, but I mean, still, yeah. I mean, we're just in that era right now. It's a quarterback era. There's so many good quarterbacks.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then whenever you talk about elite running backs, it's pretty much like AP, Arian Foster, and to me, Maurice Jones-Drew, and then there's nobody after that.
I say Ray Rice is
I could
maybe
see
in the
I could
discussion because he's so important to his team.
Yeah, I could see that.
So unbelievably important to his team. But
He's our generation's Curtis Martin.
yeah, see,
Which
I think Curtis Martin is maybe the most underappreciated player that I've ever seen play football because he's like top three, I think, in rushing yards all time, maybe. He played for so long in a position that, where longevity is coveted because it's, guys can't play that long.
Yeah.
He's fourth all time in rushing yards, third all time in attempts, seventh all time in yards from scrimmage, 12th all time in rushing touchdowns, 19th all time in rushing slash receiving touchdowns, and yeah, the other can the other statistic that sticks out is 119 straight regular season starts, which isn't very
Now, this is a little research post Super Bowl that Eric and I did. Mainly me, because I don't know that Eric knows how to use his phone properly. But now go and look up, you can say on Wikipedia, but look up the NFL all decade 2000s team and tell me if you think Jamal Anderson and Sean Alexander are the two best or the two second best running backs of the last decade. I remember Sean Alexander having like two or three really good years, and the only year that I remember Jamal Lewis even breaking out was the year he had 2,000 yards. I don't even remember what he did in anything other than that, which granted is a very impressive feat to have, but I mean by my standard the guy wouldn't be I wouldn't consider him elite because he had one ballin' season.
Yeah. I try to think.
Like Terrell Davis, by my standard, is an elite, and I love Terrell Davis. But I mean, he had four good years, a 2,000-yard season, and that was it.
Well,
Like,
Sean Alexander, he rushed for 1,000 plus, 11, almost, yeah, 1,100 yards plus in 5 straight years. And he had 1,800 yards and 27 touchdowns 1 year. I think that was the year where he had 5 rushing touchdowns before halftime on Monday Night Football.
with all due respect, though, Mike Anderson had what, 4 or 5 straight years of over 1,000 yards rushing.
Yeah.
Mike Anderson's, I mean, granted, Mike Anderson didn't have one outstanding year and then those 5 mediocre years or 5 above average years. But I mean, that's, to me, that's what I'm getting at is the league itself now has gone to the point where it's a passing league, so everybody in the next couple of years is going to throw for 4,500 yards or more.
Yeah.
That's going to be the normal. It's not going to be, like 5,000 yards this season was what, three guys broke that? Four guys broke that this year?
Think it was three. It was Aaron Rodgers, Stafford, and
Breeze.
Breeze, yeah.
And
Actually,
then
Brady too, right? So it was four.
it was Breeze, Brady. I don't think Rodgers did it, but I thought Stafford did it.
Yeah, I know Stafford did. Maybe Rodgers missed it because of Matt Flynn started the 16th.
Yeah.
Week 17, but I think one of the things with Jamal Lewis is he has 7 career 1,000-yard seasons. He has this season where he rushed for 2,066, almost breaking Eric Dickerson's single season record. And the thing that sticks out with him is he had to go do jail time. I mean, he took it like a man and everything. He went and did it. He didn't fight it. He just came. And he came back. And he still, I mean, I think even after that, he had 2,000-yard seasons with the Browns.
I mean, I'm not going to say that he's not a great player, but
I don't see where Curtis Martin isn't in there. Well, I guess Curtis Martin only played till 2005, but Sean
yeah.
Alexander only played to 2007. So I don't know, but I think I mean, looking at this, I mean, Edgerrin James and LT in the first team, I think that's pretty.
I do too. I think that LT and Edge are right where they need to be. And to me, Curtis Martin is the third best.
Yeah. Yeah, Edgerrin has 7. I mean, first 2 years, rookie and sophomore year, he led the league in rushing. And then he tore his ACL, I believe, his third year. He like hyperextended and ended up being an ACL tear. And then he came back 2001. Or no, 2002, I mean, and he still rushed for almost 1,000, and then he rushed for what he had 5 straight 1,000-yard seasons after that. I mean, he's one of the best running backs I've ever seen. He probably won't get into the Hall of Fame though, which is a shame to me.
I don't understand how he wouldn't get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I just for some reason, I mean, I've heard heard NFL media talking about how they don't think he's a Hall of Famer or, but I mean, I don't know. The numbers kind of speak for themselves. I don't understand how it's in baseball you have those magic numbers like 500 home runs, 3,000 hits, things like that, where guys can get in, like it's like a formality for the guys to get in. But there's nothing, because Tim Brown, look at Tim Brown, look at Chris Carter. They both have over 1,000
Receiving,
receptions or receptions for their career. They're one of like two of like five guys to ever receive. Maybe it's more than that now, but receive 1,000 passes or catch 1,000 passes. But yet they've both been looked over multiple times in the Hall of Fame voting.
I was talking to Eric the other day about this, and the only three quarterbacks that I consider to be elite that have played within the last 10 to 15 years, which we decided to exclude Elway and Favre, just due to when the height of their careers were, of this list. But it was Brady, Peyton, and Breeze, and then the only two running backs that we had were Edge and LT, and then the wide receivers that we have. There was like four of them, and I was pushing like crazy to get Chris Carter in that argument, just because I don't know. We had it was like Steve Smith was one of them because he was so undersized, but he still did what everybody else has done. Eric wanted to put Larry Fitzgerald in there, and I told him that I didn't think that Larry Fitzgerald had the longevity to have done it. Like if LT or if Fitzy fell off the face of the earth this year, I don't know that anybody would ever remember him.
You don't
You
think
know?
so?
Well, I mean, in 10 to 15 years, you know, I mean, that's what I'm looking at. Like you know, it, I didn't even, and everybody wanted to give me crap that. You know, Phil Sim or that Eli's gonna have two Super Bowl rings and blah blah blah. And I was like, Phil Sims has two Super Bowl rings. I've never seen Phil Sims do anything. Like whenever they show elite quarterback footage, there's never an image of Phil Sims going crazy on in a 2 minute warning, you know?
No, not at all. I wonder if is he even a Hall of Famer?
I think so.
See.
And that's one of those other scenarios whenever the Giants' defense at that point was so good, and the Giants' defense now is so good. And I feel like they're getting so overlooked because, oh, Eli, Eli, Eli. And it's like the Giants are rushing four guys and doing more damage than the Packers did on the Giants rushing seven and eight.
Yeah.
Like I feel like people don't understand that. Like, look at what is it? Pierce. Was it Paul Pierce?
No,
I
Jason
can't think.
Pierre-Paul.
Pierre Paul, yeah. Pierre Paul Pierce. He went crazy in the first half of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the reason why it was even close.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like you get so overlooked in a lot of situations of things like that, and
Yeah. There's this, I mean, Justin Tuck. I mean, I just pulled up a funny picture. It just says the Tuck rule, and it's Justin Tuck sacking Tom Brady. Yeah, Justin Tuck, Pierre-Paul was unstoppable, and OCU Manyora still good. Who else? Chris Canty, and then I mean they have some pretty decent linebackers too. It's yeah, their defense got looked over a lot, but to me, I mean, in crunch time, Eli's incredible.
Yeah, he's really come a long way. And I mean,
Yeah.
I'm not going to take that away from him, but to me, you know, like the elite status isn't.
How many more years does he have to do this to get elite status from you?
I'd say one. I honestly think it's very, very, very close. But the thing that bothers me the most is the fact that the 2 years they won the Super Bowl, they went 9-7 in the regular season.
Yeah.
And to me, that's not, you know, whenever you're elite, like you don't have 9-7 seasons. Like you don't have to win your very last game of the year. You know, I've talked about the postseason being where coaches shine, and to me, that's where Peyton Manning got so downtrodden, was because Tony Dungy could never win the big one.
Yeah.
And I mean, he couldn't do it in Tampa. And he even had like even there were multiple years whenever the Bucs had the best team in the NFC, still couldn't go to the Super Bowl. The year after he left, they won the Super Bowl. And then the same thing in Indy. Like they going in year after year, there would be years whenever they had hands down the Colts had the best team in the NFL, and they couldn't even get it out of the first or second round of the playoffs.
Yeah. Oh, trust me, I know that all too well.
Oh, I know. And I think that's just where, like, Tom Coughlin has definitely made his money in the postseason because he sure has done it during the regular season, that's for
Yeah,
sure.
the Giants were, they were forced to deal with Ahmad Bradshaw getting hurt most of the year, and Brandon Jacobs, I think, during some of it as well, and having to rely on a guy like DJ Ware to run the ball, and they were without Akiem Nicks for a little bit, but I don't know. That team is extremely talented.
Oh yeah, they're loaded from the receiver position. They're for the most part they're three deep at running back. Their defensive line, to me, the defensive battle as a whole is won on the defensive line, which is one of the reasons why, everybody gave the Broncos so much crap because our defense was so bad for the longest time, and our defensive line was so bad that the linebackers had to play up and just gave this 8 to 12 yard gap in the middle of the field that was completely uncovered. Because there was no other way to stop the run for the Broncos. It just opened up that screenplay and for everybody and
Were you writing a movie?
oh
A
yeah.
screenplay.
I got it.
No,
You?
but do you get it? You're gonna get it. Yeah, I think their biggest weakness is their secondary and
Yeah.
on defense, but I mean
There's
they play in a perennially tough conference. I mean, or division.
I'd say it's the most competitive division in the NFL. I don't know that it's the best. I do think it's the most competitive though, if that makes sense. I know a lot of people can't make that distinction. I've always argued that the ACC is the most competitive division in college football, but it's not, it's far from the best.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's kind of on the same level playing field, so they beat each other up, and their records don't really show.
Yeah.
So, well, I don't know. Maybe now's a good time to get into to odds maker.
Okay,
And
I brought this up earlier about wanting to do odds maker, and I'm sure that you'll probably have a couple of them that you want to add on to it. But my number one odds maker is, what do you think the odds are that the Patriots and the Giants play in next year's Super Bowl?
I don't really know how to do Vegas odds. I'm not quick like that, but I'll say like there's a 5% chance.
I think there's a 0% chance that both of those teams are in it. I don't even think that the Giants will win the division next year. I mean, think about it. The Giants wouldn't have won if they wouldn't have even beat the Cowboys at the very last game of the season. They wouldn't have made the playoffs.
Okay, I'll do a quick one just came to mind. Odds maker, who what are the odds that the Philadelphia Eagles win the NFC East next year?
I'll probably say 35%.
Really? Who do you have winning it? The Cowboys?
No, I actually have the Eagles making it. Well, I mean, I had the Eagles winning the Super or playing in the Super Bowl this year, but I mean, I don't want to discount the Giants. I think that if their run game can hold up next season, they'll be back. Oh, they'll be back in good with good parameters to do some damage. For me, the amount of money and the amount of esteem that the Cowboys have, and then they'll have years where they're crazy good, 10-6, 11-5, and then they'll have the very next year they'll go 6-10. And but I'd say 35% because I think the Eagles will probably, I think that there's a good chance they can blow it again. I think that a lot of those guys wanted their money, and once they got paid, they didn't care anymore.
Well, yeah, I think that might be part of it, but I think that when you get a bunch of superstars like that, chemistry has to take hold. Like we're seeing with the Heat right now, the Heat, I think, are gonna steamroll through the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had a few tough losses this season, but I don't know. I just think that the Eagles are poised to win that division. How about? I know it's probably been beat to death, but Peyton Manning staying with the Colts.
I don't know. The way that they've let, I mean, I thought that was one of the more loyal franchises, one of the less businessy, I guess, franchises in the NFL. And the way they've dropped off everybody this offseason has shown a completely different light. Like they had one bad year and, just let Peyton go into the war room. I mean, honestly, I think that at this point they should just take Peyton's contract and turn it into a coaching deal.
Yeah, I think so too. But he wants to come back and play.
Yeah. I mean, even still, like, he's a better coach even on the field than probably 80% of the coaches in the NFL, including, like, wide receiver coaches, quarterback coaches, stuff like that. I think he's probably better than the majority of people in the NFL.
Yeah, honestly, I think he could probably be a defensive coordinator the way that he knows football.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the only person in the NFL that might be a better mind than he is for football is Bill Belichick.
Well, when Bill Belichick has a camera in the practices.
Yeah, that's true. Whenever he's cheating.
Yeah.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Yeah, that's true. Ask Tito Ortiz.
What do you think the odds are of the Harbaugh matchup for the Super Bowl next year?
The way that both of those teams finished the year and the way they were able to win their division so soundly, I'd say there's probably like a 45, 50% chance.
I think so too. I think the odds of them making it back to the Super Bowl or making it back to that level next season are a lot higher than the Giants Patriots outlook.
Yeah, I think their upside is definitely much, much larger than the Giants or the Patriots. I just think they have a lot of room for growth, especially if San Francisco can get a good quarterback. If they could pick up somebody like Peyton Manning and get Reggie Wayne to come with them, that team would be unstoppable.
Oh, absolutely.
That's if, yeah, I mean.
I mean, look at what Harbaugh's done with Alex Smith this year. I mean, Alex Smith looked, I mean, he looked rejuvenated. He looked like he looked like what they expected him to be this
Yeah.
season.
He only threw five interceptions this year. That's pretty impressive. I mean, he only threw 17 touchdowns, but still.
I mean, in a system that's very run oriented and very defense oriented, the only thing that you really need to do is manage the ball. And that means to not turn it over and to eat clock up whenever you have the opportunity to.
Yep. That's true.
All right, so we're gonna do a pre-draft. Who's your Super Bowl picks for next year? Before even getting a look at the draft, before even free agency really gets underway.
That's tough.
That is really tough.
I will probably go with the. I want to say something, but I'm going to sound stupid. I kind of want to say the Bengals.
You think they'll be ready for that next season?
That tandem of Andy Dalton and AJ Green's pretty sick,
Yeah,
and their
definitely.
defense is stout. It's probably going to be the Steelers, though. I'll say Steelers and Packers. I think probably a repeat of last year.
I think the Steelers have fallen. I'm going to go I'm gonna say Saints. No, I'm gonna say Niners out of the NFC. I'm gonna say actually, you know what? I'll pick Niners Steelers, two best franchises in NFL history.
Yeah. All right, so that's on the books. We gotta do a I guess we still got a few months. I was gonna say we need to do a draft special, but
Yeah, we still got a long way to go. We don't even know who all's declared yet.
I'm just gonna go ahead and call BS on this NFL Football League or National Football League 2000s all decade team, because Tom Brady beat out Peyton for the first team.
I told me and Eric were looking at that, and I was like, I told Eric about that. I was like, you better not let Tim see this. He'll go crazy. And but one of the things that really, like, I've always talked about Tom Brady being a system quarterback. And I mean, to a certain extent, I genuinely believe that it's part system and part talent. Like, I think that if he would have gone somewhere, he would have never been higher than a mid-tier quarterback. He would have been a Mark Sanchez somewhere else. Like, he would have gotten the job done, but it wouldn't have ever been prolific. And but then you start to think about, he threw 50 touchdowns in one season. 50.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. Peyton still got him beat by almost he's got him beat by 99 touchdowns. And
And we may never play again.
yeah. And a
That,
hundred
to me, that's what consistency is. Like, that's why Peyton Manning is so good to me. And I attribute a lot of their lack of success in the postseason, not necessarily to Peyton making bad plays or anything like that, but just coaching, just bad coaching in the playoffs.
Yeah. It's just Yeah, I mean, you look at it, he's thrown in 12 seasons, he threw only 2 seasons he had less than 4,000 yards passing. And the least amount of touchdowns he's ever thrown in a season is 26. And that was his rookie year and his sophomore year.
That's
Damn it.
crazy.
Damn it, I'm gonna miss him.
Yeah, I think that odds maker, the odds that he stays in Indy under any scenario, I think are about 10%.
Yeah. I don't know. He said he's willing to restructure his deal, but that might be for another team, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we should stop making me feel so depressed and get away from
Well, you know what doesn't make you depressed?
watching Nick Diaz lose.
Watching Nick Diaz lose. I don't know how you knew what I was gonna say, but yeah. Watching Nick Diaz lose.
It makes me very happy. Makes me very happy, especially to look at all the boards and seeing everybody just still nut hugging Nate or Nick Diaz, talking about how all Carlos Condit did was run away from him on Saturday, and it's just absolutely ludicrous. Like, it for anybody who saw the fight, it was just a perfectly executed game plan by Carlos Condit,
Yeah.
and he didn't let Nick Diaz get into his head with all the taunting BS and. And well, he didn't let Carlos he didn't let Nick Diaz corner him, so I mean, he's automatically a wuss for doing that, for running away. Like, he didn't run away. Like, people keep saying he ran away. He got backed into the corner, and then he circled out and, like, he backpedaled and then reset in the middle of the ring. Like, what is he supposed to do?
I know he reset around
Tell, man. Everybody's like, well, all he did was land leg kicks and.
No, yeah, that's why Nick Diaz's face was so cut up by Nick Diaz took more damage than Condit did.
That's for sure. It's just like, yeah, those cuts just magically appeared on his face. Like, it's always baffled me with the people who nut hug on Nick Diaz. It's just.
I don't understand. Like people I don't get a lot of fans in most sports. Like I've argued a lot that most people in most sports let bias get in the way of a lot of things. Like whenever you hear people talk about like local people talk about how great Matt Ryan is and things like that. Like Matt Ryan's a good quarterback, don't get me wrong, but he's not Peyton Manning. Quit talking about him like he is. And I think that this is another one of those things where people just talk out the side of their neck. Yeah, especially in like there's no real divisible stance on number one, There's no real divisible set standard as to what is great and what isn't in MMA. It's a lot more opinion based than a lot of other sports are. There's not the stats that go along with every, I mean, there are the stats that go along with everything, but they're not as cut and dry as to why who won this round, who won that round, and two of the three judges scored it 4-1, Condit, and that's exactly before they even scored it, that's what I said it was. I said I felt it was 4-1 Condit, and I don't know. I don't understand where everybody gets off. Just he ran the whole fight, and whenever Diaz came out in the after thing talking about how if that's what wins fights, then he doesn't want to be a part of it anymore. Good. Go bake brownies with Martha Stewart.
I hate, he's a little crybaby. Like he got beat. Finally, somebody didn't fall victim to his taunting and, executed a game plan to a T, and he's upset. It's stupid. I mean, Carlos Condit is probably frustrated that he had to fight that way because that's not normally how he fights. But Greg Jackson is the ultimate tactician in MMA, and I mean, he employs what a lot of people would consider a boring game plan, but it works and people win fights. So, I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's all about the W. And I thought it was a pretty entertaining fight for the most part.
I did too. Actually, I really enjoyed that whole card.
Yeah, me too. I thought from top to bottom it was really fun. Especially, I mean, in the co-main event, Roy Nelson, the beating that he took from Verdum and the fact that he didn't go down was maybe the thing that
Outstanding.
stuck out. Yeah, probably the thing that stuck out for me the most during that fight. Or during the card, maybe even. Verdum looked amazing, though.
Yeah, Verdum looked untouchable all around the board.
I really hope that he I mean, I've always liked Fabrizio Werdum, but the thing with him was that, he was always just a jiu-jitsu practitioner in an MMA ring. But now, like, working with Rafael Diaz, I think his name is, his Muay Thai coach, he's been tearing it up. I mean, the way that he was able to get that clinch on Roy Nelson and not let go. And I'd really like to see him eventually make his way to get a rematch with the champ. I mean, Junior Dos Santos, that was his first fight in the UFC. He knocked out Werdum with a nasty uppercut. And then, I mean, he hasn't lost since. So I'd like to see Werdum, step up, maybe take on the winner. I'm trying to think who's even up next. Maybe take on Cain Velasquez. I'm not even sure, to be honest, because Junior Dos Santos is fighting Alistair Overeem sometime this year. And then I'm trying to think who even falls in line at the second. Maybe Frank Mir, Werdum and Frank Mir, which would be a good fight. I mean, that would probably take it to the ground. And
Yeah.
or Josh Barnett and Daniel Cormier, the winner of that leaps Strikeforce and comes up and fights Werdum in the UFC. I don't know. The heavyweight division's kind of,
It's kind of up in the air right now, aside from
yeah.
I don't know. Aside from Junior Dos Santos, I think that the rest of that field is pretty up for grabs, I think.
Yeah, me too. It's, I don't know. It's always good to see. I mean, you're seeing more and more like younger guys, more athletic guys, even like former football players getting into the heavyweight division, like Brendan Schaub and Matt Mitrione. But I mean, it's just gonna take a while, I think, until you start seeing the freak athletes. I'm sure John Jones will be a heavyweight in a few years,
Yeah.
just because his body's filling out and he's not gonna be able to make 205 pounds for very long.
No, I think that I don't know, like I kind of don't want to see him leave that weight class just because of how much he dominated or how much he has dominated a weight class that was completely and utterly like whoever won the belt was going to lose it their very next fight
Yeah.
for, close to 2 years, close maybe even 2.5, 3 years,
Trying to
whoever.
I'm trying to think who even defended their title. Machida defended it once, but everybody called BS on it because everybody thought that Shogun won that fight.
And then Shogun won the next one, and then Jones took the belt from Shogun.
Yeah. It's just I'm trying hold on, I'm about to look that up real quick. Yeah, Machida had one defense, Rampage had one defense back in 2007. Before that, Chuck Liddell had four defenses, though.
Yeah. Once
It
Liddell lost it, it was pretty well like a one and done from there on, once
yeah.
Liddell lost it.
And before Liddell, it went Couture, Belfort, Couture. And I mean, Tito Ortiz had it for a long time. Frank Shamrock did. Yeah, it's just one of those. It's part of the fun thing about 205 is that it used to hit, change so often and everything seemed so competitive, but now, I mean, with John Jones dominating, it's kind of hard to see that. I mean, people, it's just not very competitive anymore. I mean, it is below number one, but I'm really interested. I think the fight between Rashad Evans and John Jones that's coming up in April in Atlanta, I think is going to be a lot more competitive than most people do. Just because I think that Rashad has a good wrestling base, and I don't think he's not very easy to out grapple, so it might frustrate John Jones. And his footwork and his striking is outstanding. So I just everybody thinks he's going to go in and just dominate Rashad, and I don't think that's going to be the case.
I think Jones is going to win it. I really do. I don't think I think that Rashad is really going to be I think he's going to be poised to deploy and destroy just because he it's been so long since he's been out of the or it's been so long since he's been in the limelight. Like he's done I mean he's taken backstage fights to the way that I mean even Ryan Bader has come up in that division, and those two guys have really just taken Jones and Bader have taken that whole, taken all the limelight from that division and put it on themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that Rashad Evans coming back in that limelight is going to be very entertaining.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for it. I'm not a huge fan of Rashad. I like him more than I like John Jones. I really love Ryan Bader. I can't wait to see him fight I mean, I love Rampage too. That's going to be a hell of a fight in Japan.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's going to be more entertaining than the John Jones and Rashad Evans fight.
Yeah. The the Japanese people are going to go nuts. They're going to go absolutely mental for Rampage's return to Japan. Because he was such a huge star over there. It's just ridiculous. But I don't know. I'd like to see John Jones challenge more. Is what I'm getting at. But
I think John Jones will be the first MMA fighter to get 50 wins in his career.
Well, I mean, there
Oh,
UFC,
yeah,
well,
first UFC
UFC
fighter.
fights, yeah. Yeah, maybe. If he fights long enough.
I mean, think
I
about
mean,
it.
he's only 24.
He's 24 and he has 15 wins. I mean, that's what. I mean, if he does, if I mean, I guess at the way he's going now, he doesn't have to fight 4 or 6 times a year anymore. He can do 2 times a year and it's fine now.
Yeah, he likes to fight. I mean, he's been on record saying he wants to fight 4 times a year every year, so.
Well, I don't know. Maybe the more that the UFC grows, one thing that I really hate is just that is that they spread everything out so much to accommodate all the belts and all the title shots and everything else. And
Yeah, there are just so many divisions now. There are flyweight, bantamweight, featherweight, lightweight, welterweight, middleweight, light heavyweight. There are eight divisions now. And it is going to take a while to I mean, it takes a while. That's why there's a card every week now. There's a different card every week because they have to accommodate for all the fighters that they have under the contract now.
I think that they should just start. I mean, even do some of the lesser known belt fights, even do them on regular TV. You know, bring in the audience and make it to where whenever people are paying for fights, they're paying for, you know, a Nick Diaz, Carlos Condit, and you know, like a Dominic Cruz, Uriah Faber fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, we saw Dominic Cruz and Demetrius Johnson fight for the title. That was the first title shot ever on cable. That was a couple of months ago, and that I mean, it ended up being a really good card. We're spoiled right now, as far as I'm concerned,
Yeah,
getting so many events.
there's so much there. I mean, there's a ton of good athletes. Everybody wants to see the new guy, the hot guy. You know, Barreo, the guy that fought Spotty Jorgensen.
Yeah.
That
Had
dude,
him brought. Yeah, he's sick, man.
he's gonna be poised to challenge for bantamweight.
Yeah, I think he'll probably end up taking Dominic Cruz's title. He's on like the longest streak in MMA right now with like 28 straight wins.
And then what that Jose Aldo's training center
Yeah.
will have a bantamweight and featherweight.
Yeah, Nova União, they're outstanding. I mean, they have some of the best lightweight or lighter weight guys. I just want to point you to this guy. We actually interviewed him. His name's Travis Fulton, the Iron Man. He has 247 wins.
That sounds about like my record.
He's, yeah, I mean, he's
But mine
fought.
are all bum fights, though. So I'm just putting bums in triangle chokes.
I mean, if you can get a commission to pass it, like Homer fighting all the hobos,
Yeah.
just rope-a-doping them, let them punch themselves out on his stomach. Now he's fought. I mean, there's some guys he's fought like 5 and 6 times though, and beaten them all 5 times. It's just ridiculous. Like his record is just, and he's like one of the most humble guys ever. I mean, it's funny. I don't know. It's just, I wish guys did fight more, but then again, it is nice to get variety in the
Well, that's what I'm saying is, you know, you add, you know, you put, you have these cards that come on regular TV. And I mean, at this point, you could almost honestly do a card a night.
Yeah.
The way that the sport is growing and the way that there are more people, the way that more people get involved in it and the way that, you know, like you could put more hype to certain events and, you know, you don't have to charge everything the same amount for per fight or pay-per-view, charge everything the same amount. You know, I mean, some cards are obviously going to be better than others, but, you know, I think that what they ought to do is diversify their bonds.
Yeah, that's what they need to do. It's absolutely what they need to do is diversify their bonds. No, but I mean, we do have a card coming up next week. It's Jake Ellenberger and Diego Sanchez. It's gonna be on Fuel. It's gonna be, I think, I want to say that maybe is the first UFC on Fuel event. I want to say that's right. Yeah, it is. Fuel TV, which I don't even think Comcast cover or carries. So probably have to go to the bar to watch that. It should be good. My boy Stefan Struve's fighting against Dave Pee Wee Herman. And there's some good, I mean, good heavyweight prospects on the card. I don't know, should be fun to watch. I don't know. I don't know. It should be good to watch, eat some hot dogs and watch those fights.
Sounds like a date. You can hold hands and watch TV.
And go ride around and eat Burger King.
Don't tempt me with a good time, Playboy. I hadn't had Burger King in over a month.
So Luis Suarez is back on the headlines.
Yeah, for same stuff. Pretty much, he went to jail for the same stuff he was doing before.
Yeah, you're gonna get out in 6 months, and
Yeah.
you're gonna go right back for doing the same thing.
Was
No,
what was that? Paul Mooney is is
Negrodamus.
Nigrodamus, yeah.
Yeah, or no, was it Ask a Black Dude?
No, it was Nigrodamus.
Okay, yeah, Suarez, I actually missed it. I was watching some of the game while I was working. I kind of had it on in the background, and I missed it. But apparently, I guess he kicked Scott Parker in the junk. He got a yellow card for it, everybody. Wayne Rooney. Apparently, they ran this big story on SoccerNet. It was like Wayne Rooney thinks that he should have been red carded. It's like why do I give a crap what Wayne Rooney thinks at a time like this?
Wayne Rooney also didn't get carded for the exact same offense.
Yeah, so
I mean, that was a couple years ago, but I mean, like, I know Suarez is your boy.
I
I respect
honestly,
that.
I mean, I like him because he wears the jersey and because he plays his heart out, but I cannot stand his antics.
Oh, absolutely. And like I talk about Alex Song being as dirty as you can be under Arsene Wenger. And I love Alex Song because he's a brute, but he's not a dirty brute.
Yeah.
He makes really like the fouls that he does commit are usually on one-on-ones and they're really smart fouls.
Yeah.
Suarez just does stupid stuff and points of a game that don't even require you to do anything stupid.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how deliberate the kick was to Scott Parker because I think it was on a corner and the ball was coming to the back post. I think he might have gone to kick at it and I think he might have cleated him in the junk. But they did show a picture earlier when he was reaching around Scott Parker to challenge for a ball, and I guess he caught his eye, like with an eye poke.
Yeah.
But that didn't look deliberate either because his eyes were pointed down at the ball, and he was just going to reach around Scott Parker. I think that was incidental, but some of the
Even
stuff
still,
that.
why are you reaching around a player to begin with? I mean, that's technically a foul. I
Yeah,
mean,
it
I realize
is.
they're not going to call it stuff like that in the EPL, but like high school level, college level. I mean, I guess college is technically dirtier than most professional leagues from what I understand, but
Yeah.
like you shouldn't be doing that in the first place.
He needs to grow up.
Absolutely.
He could be the best player in the world if he just grows up. If
Yeah.
he has all the talent in the world, he just needs to put all the crap behind him. Start fresh. That's what this was supposed to be when he came to Liverpool. A lot of it was getting away from all of his antics at Ajax when he bit that player on the field.
He's definitely got the teeth to do
Oh yeah.
it.
I mean, he's got flat teeth like a horse, so it's gonna hurt. It won't break skin, but it's gonna hurt like hell.
Yeah.
And man, you should see him eat hay. It's a thing of beauty.
Hi.
He can fit a whole apple in his mouth at once.
So, Van Persie has more goals than Wigan does. I
What, by like
think,
one, right?
yeah, by one. But I mean, it's still the whole team of Wigan, and he has like one goal less than West Brom. And let me see. No, he has one goal less than Stoke does, and he has two less than Everton and West Brom.
That's nuts.
So, Van Persie's practically an entire city by himself right now.
Yeah. That's nuts, man.
Yeah, that's quality.
He's been outstanding. Actually, looking at that picture again, it does kind of look like he's looking at Scott Parker whenever he's poking him in the eye. But yeah, Van Persie's been outstanding. What about the Senegalese duo from Newcastle?
Oh, man, dude.
Bon Cisse, the Demba Demba.
Dimba Dimba. This sounds like a cartoon show on Nickelodeon that comes on like Nick Jr. during the day. Or, huh?
Dumbo.
Hi there, Face here. Hope you guys are set up for some Dimba
Hey there, Face here.
Dimba.
Oh God. Oh, that's good times. Good times. It's like the new Gullah Gullah,
Yeah. You know, hanging in a chow line, good times.
Demba Demba
But that's the most disputed lyric of good
Island. Hanging
times
in a jury.
lyrics.
I love how he said that, of all the good times lyrics. Oh, jeez. Yeah, Ba and Cisse are ridiculous together.
I was actually hoping that Demba Ba would end up somewhere other than Newcastle during the transfer window. And since then, I've actually started calling you Timba Ba.
Timbaba, exactly, for
This is.
my I guess opposite approach on the pitch. Not scoring goals. It's one of those ironic nicknames, like that 7 foot dude we call Shorty.
Shorty.
It's no, but Cisse's goal was pretty sick. His first goal.
Yeah.
He kind of just, what did he chested it down and just volleyed it with his left immediately and just bend it to the outside. It was beautiful. It just
Yeah.
sucks that they're, I mean, they keep winning.
Yeah.
Friggin' Alan Pardew, man.
I'm just trying to make Champions League.
That's all I'm trying to do, Newcastle. I'm trying to knock out Chelsea.
I'm trying to knock out Tottenham. I actually hope that everybody else that's in London doesn't make Champions League, other than Arsenal. Sorry, Phil.
I hope that Man U and Man City end up getting relegated. And
That'll probably we probably will never live long enough to see that happen.
no. Especially since Mancini needs more players.
Yeah.
He always needs more players. He'll probably be out by the end of the season.
With just the rules that they're instigating.
I don't know. I think that I see Mourinho coming back either for Chelsea or for Man City. Or maybe a shock move to QPR.
I don't know, that'd be a real shock move considering the amount of money. Oh, look at all of our monies. We have all the monies.
Now you have Jose Mourinho going to take Wigan back from the championship back up into the top flight.
Actually wish that that would happen.
So Wigan's gonna get relegated, Blackburn and Wolves. Now Blackburn and Bolton.
I actually don't think Blackburn will. I think that Yakubu will keep him up.
Who do you think will get relegated then? Bolton, Wigan, and Wolves?
Probably. Bolton's been terrible this year, but for whatever reason, like, okay, Blackburn has a win over Manchester United and a win over Arsenal and a draw with Liverpool. And that pretty much every other game they pretty much played has been a loss.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid.
I don't know. I just. Let me look at the table right quick. Like, I'm pretty sure Wigan is pretty much a lock for it.
Yeah, they have 16 points so far this season.
These are the teams that I will say are in contention for relegation. West Brom, Wolves, Bolton, Blackburn, and Wigan. So the bottom six teams minus QPR. I think QPR is just going to turn it on in the second half of the season.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, their two new signings have already scored goals,
Yeah.
even though Cissé is going to be out 3 games after getting his red card in his second game back in the EPL.
So silly. I do love Jabril Cissé, though.
I can't say a bad thing about the man. The only thing I could say is I wish I had that hair.
Oh, me too, man. And the sweet have you seen his whole body tattoo?
No, he has like a whole body tattoo.
Well, I mean, it's like it's interlaced, like interlinking with itself. It's kind of awesome. If you guys ever get a chance, listeners.
I see he has wings on his back, very original.
Yep.
He has face tattoos now?
I don't know.
That can't be right, right?
Right.
That's a good looking man. But like he has a blonde Doom Rider in this picture. That mustache.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't you?
Where you grow a full beard, but then you shave off the chin and then the neck, so it's just a huge mustache.
I mean, that's how I roll.
That's a thing of beauty right there. That's how I would go too. Yeah, he is tatted up. He's tatted up like Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah, except he'd probably be the crap out of Wiz Khalifa, even though he's French.
Yeah, I mean he's not from North Dakota, so.
Yeah, you could be pretty much if you're of a different diversity in Europe, you're automatically more hard than anybody from North Dakota.
Yeah. I think that's. I think that's true. I didn't go. I didn't leave. I made a sandwich.
I
And you
just found
left?
a picture of Jabril Cissé walking with a white girl.
Uh-oh. Don't let conservative America get a hold of that.
Dude, these tattoos are sick, man. They're like leopard spots.
Yeah.
That stuff's sick. Looks awesome.
I still think my favorite tattoos are Daniel Agger's,
Yeah.
the huge Viking scene that he has on his back.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Actually, that's one of my favorite ones as well.
Yeah, Hunter and I were talking yesterday during the Tottenham Liverpool game. Just about, well, Skrtel went in on a challenge. He came in and he went in one-legged. It was cleat up. But he got ball and then followed through, and it wasn't even his foot that caught him. I can't even remember who it was. Maybe it was Bale. But it definitely wasn't a foul. It was completely clean. He didn't once get off the ground. It was just,
Clean up.
yeah, it was just a one cleat up, one leg tucked.
Yeah.
It was like a completely legitimate slide, and they ended up giving him a yellow card for it.
I usually slide with one cleat. Whenever I slide, I usually slide with one cleat up. Just because if you get kicked in the bottom of the cleat, it doesn't hurt as bad as if you get kicked on the top of the foot. That sucks. Or if you get kicked directly in your toes or anything like that. But I don't lift my foot off the ground at all whenever I slide.
But we were talking about that, and for some reason, whenever Bale got up, he pushed Daniel Agger and tried to start a fight with him. For some reason, I was thinking he tried to do it with Skrtel, and I was like, that's just, I would not want to fight that. That's got to be the
Either one of those guys?
scariest center back duo in the world. Like, I would not.
I don't
Well, I
know,
mean,
man.
aside from the Czech Republic and like Slovakia, like I just those.
Whatever, dude. John Mensa. I wouldn't fight. I'd probably fight Skrtel before I'd fight John Mensa.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, war-torn guys.
Yeah.
I mean Skrtel comes from war-torn Slovakia, right?
Sure.
Yeah, it's just I would not want to mess with either of those guys. Skrtel's pretty tatted up too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never looked at his tattoos before though.
Haven't either, but I'm about to. Looks like that boy got a sleeve and a half. We can't quit talking. People will quit listening.
He actually does. He has two sleeves, two full sleeves.
Yep. Looks kind of fat too.
Yeah, he's got, of course, he's got Veni Vidi Vici written on his side,
Who doesn't? I mean, I have that.
and waves all over it, and he has probably a couple kanjis.
The American. I love whenever people. I used to tell you about people that would be out and about. Like, I'd be out in the club in Florence or out at a bar in Florence, and guys would just grab me out of nowhere. Never girls would ever do this. Guys would always just grab my arm, be like, "What's your tattoo? Get off me, dog." "What's your tattoo?" Great. So as I tell you what they're about, you'll never talk to me again. So just leave me alone.
I'd prefer if you left me alone.
Yeah.
Oh man.
If you're listening to this, never use somebody's tattoos as an icebreaker unless they're talking about them already.
Yeah. I'm pretty hyped for Saturday morning, 7:45. Luis Suarez makes probably is gonna make his return to the starting lineup at Old Trafford against Patrice Evra. It's gonna be a madhouse.
I'm just gonna say he's probably gonna get relegated.
Liverpool's, oh, just Suarez is just gonna get relegated.
Just Suarez is gonna get relegated.
So the end of the season, you got Wolves, Bolton, and Wigan, and then Suarez.
It's Suarez.
Who's gonna come up for Suarez? It's gonna be like Cardiff. Cardiff finally gets to come up, piggybacking. Just one guy.
Hopefully, Sheffield will jump up two leagues and be back in the Prem.
Yeah. Arsenal's got a tough game against Sunderland. Sunderland's playing better than anybody right now.
Yeah, no kidding.
Chelsea, Everton should be good. That should be a lot of goals in that game. Tottenham, Newcastle, come on, draw. And then Man City and Aston Villa.
I'm actually just gonna pull for I'm gonna pull for Newcastle in that game because I really don't think that Newcastle has the longevity to keep it going. I think that's gonna end up being their downfall is lack of longevity.
Well, it should be a good weekend anyway.
Yeah.
We had some pretty crazy scores today in cups. Like they had Athletic Bilbao putting up 6 goals on Mirandes. Dortmund winning 4-0. 4 goals from all different people. Oh, and I loved what I saw. R Robert Lewandowski came out talking about the speculation linking him to Bayern Munich, and he was like, "Why would I want to?" He's like, "I'm with the champions right now." It's like I'm with defending champion Dortmund. Why would I want to go to Bayern? And they're tied for the lead right now, I think, in the Bundesliga. They started off so poorly too.
Yeah, that team is so young. They're gonna be like that's what Arsenal needs to be.
Yeah, they're tied for first with themselves. They're in first, solely in first. 43-41. Bayern and Schalke have 41. And the Pacers just won. So 17-7. 7-7. You gonna go get a couple 7-7s?
Get down on that. I actually haven't had any desire to drink at all, even though I've lifted pretty well lifted my resolutions.
Well, maybe so is one of them gonna stick forever?
I don't know. Might we'll see. I'm not gonna say no or yes or anything else, but we'll see.
Yeah, we will. Anyway, I don't know if that there's much else to talk about tonight.
I don't either. I think that's pretty well. I think that's pretty well it.
Yeah, I think so too. But yeah, guys, thanks for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Tim Herb and at J Champy, JChampey.
It's true.
He spells it with an E, like a real man. And tune in next time. And suck it, Tom Brady.